bing me. You bing me, I'll slap a hoe.
Emails.podbean.com.
It's Google, motherfucker.
Welcome to the call to be in, you cop-sucking motherfucking dog shit ass cunt bitch.
Welcome to the ENLS podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk about mixtapes. My best friend, Jason Powell, he's a Christian rapper. His rap name is Push, Pray Until Something Happens. And he's been working on his mixtape for 4 or 5 years now, and he's hopefully finally getting ready to release it. And I had just put out the mixtape volume 4, and we took completely different approaches to it, and we were sort of comparing our criticisms and thoughts and ideas about mixtapes. So this is a conversation between me and the Christian rapper. All right, peace.
Maybe you could take that clip of that clip from that show when you finally find it. Yeah, I'll find a link for it.
Right, we'll cut it in when we get to it. So welcome to the random mixtape conversation.
Woo!
I just released the mixtape volume 4, Ego Trip, and you're getting ready to release The Flood.
The mixtape?
And we took very different approaches. I asked nobody for advice or permission. And you're asking everybody, and we're both frustrated with the outcome of our actions. What is the middle ground?
There is no middle ground. It's war.
So explain, what is the backstory on the mixtape?
It's my life project that I hope will be at least okay by the time it actually comes out. But I don't even know how to answer that question. But I'll just talk about currently.
Well, let me ask about if it's your life's project. So say it comes out and everybody's like, yeah, I don't like it, it's whack. Do you regret the time you spent making it, or do you regret the project?
No, you don't regret the project, nor the time you spent making it. At the end of the day, you want to make something that, as an artist, you want to make something that you can live with. I'm realizing that I'm not perfect, so everything that I do is not going to be golden, but hopefully there'll be some gems or some moments, you know, a couple of songs out of the whole project that'll be like, you know, those kind of stand out tracks.
Nobody likes all of anybody's work.
Exactly. So, and that's another thing. When it comes to art, and I even hate to even use that word, but it's because of the people I've been hanging around, it's subjective.
Poets.
So what does subjective mean? What I like may not be the same thing that you like. And so my favorite songs on the track, on the album, may not be your favorite songs on the album, and vice versa, the same thing. Comment, your favorite joke may not be my favorite joke.
Well, I think as like the doer, you have some like greater appreciation for what it took to get something, and mm-hmm. something that might have been harder for you to create, you'll like more than something that would be easier to create, but your friends might be like, oh, that easy stuff? That was my favorite bit.
Right. Which can be frustrating.
I don't even know why you work so hard on that.
Exactly. So it's just like, you know, and I mean, that's why I was so heartbroken when I found out that, you know, the producer who I'm supposed to be working with in New York did not like Yoshi. Because that was supposed to be my Thriller. Even though it ain't Thriller, it was my Thriller. So it had like, there were like 3 beat changes like inside the song, at least 3 or 4. Like the music just changed 4 times. I got this dope singer, and so that means, you know, when the beat changes and you don't make beats, that means you have to buy multiple beats. Mm-hmm. And then I put Machi on it. Machi did some instrumentation, and yes, you know, I'm like, I am not only giving it to you, visually, you should be able to see the song. And he was just like, you know what, it sounds dated, I pass. It's like, okay, we're taking this to a second opinion. So that is basically how I ended up sending some of my tracks out to you and a couple other people, because basically I was like, this producer, maybe he didn't realize what he was listening to. But people on the internet, you have to also be open to criticism, which means that everything you say can't be right. Sometimes it may benefit to listen to others, but it's up to you to determine what to take and what to cut out.
See, one of the big criticisms I got is that it's too long. But I'm looking at it like a movie, like I'm taking you on this journey. You know, we're going to start here. It's a whole experience. You got to listen to it. One long thing. Everybody's like, dude, I don't have 2 hours. And one of the clips in there is 36 minutes long, and it's just stuff about Baltimore and the riots. And people are like, yeah, that just take that out altogether. I was like, it's important to me. And they're like, nobody cares.
Black lives don't matter.
Stop trying to reach these kids.
That's right. Nobody wants educational humor. They just want humor.
Somebody actually said to me, like, stop trying to save people. Just be funny.
Stop trying to make a difference in the world.
You piece of shit.
That's right. You're an entertainer. Dance, monkey, dance.
But what I like the most is, like, people I take stuff away from. So I'm going to make the thing I like the most, not the thing that's going to be the most successful.
Yeah, and so here's the truth. The truth of the matter is, you kind of got to do both. you don't get, like, for those who want a career out of this, you know, so if you want to have a career in the entertainment industry, you have to be entertaining. Like, it don't work that way. You can't do your own thing necessarily and also expect everybody to follow you as closely, you know. You gotta be established before you do some crap like that. You know, or at least you have to be blazing. So, you know, if you're like an average run-of-the-mill, you got to work your way up. You may have to do some stuff that you may not necessarily enjoy as much, but you still make those jokes your own. I mean, even your poop and fart jokes are your poop and fart jokes. You know, they're not South Park's poop and fart jokes, which I don't enjoy. Or, you know, anybody else's there. You got to make them your own. So even if I did a commercial song, for example, something that I woke up in a Bugatti. I don't know what that would be. I woke up in a pimped out coffin. I don't know. With a cross on. I don't know what that'd be. But the point is, I would do it my way. I would make it my own. And so at least that way it's enjoyable to me. But yeah, you gotta hit the high notes. I don't know what those are for comedy though.
So, well, one of the criticisms I got was that it was too smart. And, you know, like you and Dante say, like, well, if it's too smart, you gotta explain it better. Like, it's my fault as an entertainer. I didn't make it funny enough, the idea. But we were talking about, like, Lupe Fiasco, and you brought up Batman, where, like, one of the criticisms Lupe gets is, like, well, if I don't get it, then what's the point? How can I be a fan if I just don't get it? Like,
well, it also depends on, it also depends on what's your goal as an artist. Because if you are just making stuff that you like, then, and you don't care what the audience thinks, then you don't necessarily need the audience, which is great. But again, most people make stuff for themselves, but also for others to enjoy. And so Lupe does have songs that I enjoy. And then he has songs, I don't know what the heck he's talking about. And to get back to your point, I like long songs because as usually the songs that I like the most, I'm always sad when they end. I'm like, oh, like usually they're usually one verse songs or two verse songs. It's just like, why did you end it so quickly?
I always like more. It's 2 hours long, and I was like, maybe I shouldn't have put the director's cut out first. Everybody's like, it should have just been 45 minutes long. And I was like, but that's not what I'm trying to do. I want to show you all this cool stuff I got. Look at it.
Yes. And so, on the other end, so here's how it works on the other end, because I recently heard a song that was really long that I did not like. And I was just like, you know, like, if you're listening to an album and you hit a song that you don't like or don't like as much as the other ones and it's short.
Like anything Beyonce's on a Jay-Z album? Like, or is it that Justin Timberlake song where you're like, enough.
Yes.
Enough of this dude.
Yes. And you'd be like, you might listen to it because, you know, your favorite track might be coming up next. But if that song you hate is 6-7 minutes long, you're going to skip that bad boy. And you're going to be mad that you have to skip it. Because, like, man, I can at least tolerate 3 minutes of this. But you went an extra 4. Do you hate me? And so if you hear a song that you don't like and it's really long, it just makes you very upset. And so, or, you know, but what I tell my consultant is, if they don't like it, they can skip it. But, you know, sometimes people don't want to skip songs they don't like. Sometimes they just want to bear through it. So, I don't know. But, again, the point is that I think it's just subjective. And you kind of have to, before you even start, this is something I've heard multiple times, is kind of know who you're trying to reach.
Oh, I have no idea. I just do it for me.
Yes!
I'm just trying to be the comic that I want to hear.
Yes, Wong Padawan. Or, I don't even know, young student. That is great. But see, because I'm lame, I'm trying to appeal to other lames.
Okay.
So I'm going to throw in some, you know, as the professionals call it, some geek culture in my songs.
You're gonna drop some Naruto.
Drop some Naruto, throw in a couple lines about Dragon Ball Z, hit Star Wars, not really, because I'm not that kind of lame. But I will talk, you know, I'll talk that lingo. So if you, like, you hear it, you'd be like, oh, he's down. But then, of course, you know, but with me, it's like, I'm even in a segment of a segment of a segment, because I'm like a lame geek culture rapper who's also a Christian rapper who's trying to combine these two worlds that have nothing to do with each other and whose worlds don't have great fan bases as it is, and then combine them. So it's like, eh, it doesn't really
I work. I try to do intellectual stuff, but I also love street stuff. And so some people are like, he's not talking about bitches and hoes enough, and other people are like, I wish he'd stop. Just do the other stuff.
Right, and so that's where it is. So some people are going to like half your mixtape, and other people are going to like, this ain't that. But the good thing is that you appeal to two audiences. That's your win.
Yeah, I'm disappointing more people.
So it's like, you know, that's my struggle is, and that's why I had to send the songs out. That's why every song that I've done is being remixed and remastered, because at the end of the day, what my consultant told me was like, listen, it's great that you like it, but the production sucks. That's the price. That was my biggest critique was, it does not sound as professional as what everybody else does. So it's not like a Jay-Z, an Eminem, not necessarily lyricism, just sound quality.
I got the same thing. And like with all the technology that's available now, it's like you're running out of excuses. You can't be like, I couldn't afford the studio time, because like, you just have your own studio.
You could have.
For less than a G.
Yes, but you kind of have to be into that crap.
That's like the thing I hate the most. All this extra stuff I gotta learn. I have no interest in understanding tweeting and podcast and HTML and
web. Yes. And so for you artists, for you people who are in the business, are trying to get in the business, it's more than just creating dope art. So if it's dope comedy or it's dope pictures or it's dope music, there's a YouTube page, there's the Twitter page, there's the building your fan
Spotify,
base.
Spotify, the Reddit, SoundCloud.
You have to work that crowd. You have to be posting stuff and let people know, because people who like you like to hear more about you. So then you kind of got to, you know, be socially or at least online present. And, you know, I'm not really big on that.
One of the things I was thinking about is that you can, like, build a consensus or build your own reality when you talk more to the audience, because they start to see your point of view rather than just guessing at what it is. And I think I got to do a better job of articulating, like, this is who I am and where I'm coming from, because then people connect a little bit more to the material.
Yeah, and that's the bonus stuff is for the fans. Like, you know, most people are just going to listen to the 5-minute spot, you know.
I laughed or I didn't,
and move on to the next thing. But the people who are, like, looking for you on Facebook, like, who is this guy? He killed it for 10 minutes. I need to know more about him. Then that person will go on the website and look up and say, oh, that's what he was talking about in that joke? Now it's even funnier. Oh, man, I got something else totally different out of that. But you kind of got to have that stuff when he goes to look.
So I had two things I wanted you to explain. A short recap of what the lame philosophy is, and then if you could break down the Batman thing you were telling me. Because I love Batman.
Well, to be fair, Ian can explain it better than I can. Because when I said it, I was, what, maybe 19, 20? And I don't remember, but I live by it. It's like, you know, once you realize who you are, I'm a lame. And so therefore, me trying to appeal to everybody would be a waste of time, because I can't do cool.
It's too much work to be cool.
Yeah, it's like, all right, and I don't have time to deal with all of that. So you know what? go be cool. I'm gonna be lame.
Have fun.
Have fun with that. And I'm gonna be lame. And the truth of the matter is what I believe is that, you know, what's for you is for you. So if I make something and it's for you, great. If it's not for you, then that's okay too. You know, there are plenty of other rappers out there you could be listening to. That is in short the lame philosophy. Ian can break it down better. Ian, would you like to?
That's fine. So we were saying, like, I was talking about Lupe and the criticism I got for, like, some stuff being too smart. And you're like, that reminds me of when the Joker beat the hell out of Harley.
Yes. So, again, so for you comic book fans or you fans of Batman, there's this episode of Batman called Mad Love. Go look it up. It's the story of how Harley Quinn got seduced, tricked, fell in love with the Joker. And in this story, she's trying to be the helpful sidekick girlfriend. And the Joker he's struggling. Like, he's hit like a rough patch.
He's got that writer's block.
Right. He's got that writer's block. He's walking around in his underwear and he's trying to make his jokes funny, but he can't get it to work. And so one of the things that he wants to do is he wants to, he's got this joke, this death joke called a thousand smiles of death or something like that. And so he tries to use his Joker toxin on piranhas, but piranhas, who frown by nature, the toxin doesn't work on them. And so he can't throw Batman into a tank full of piranhas because the piranhas will all be frowning, and you know the Joker's all about smiles. So he's explaining this to Harley, and Harley gets the great idea that, hey, this is what we're gonna do. I'm going to kidnap Batman because you can't catch him. This is what this chick does. She kidnaps Batman, catches him, figures out that if she hangs Batman upside down as she puts him into the tank of piranhas, he will see them smiling because he will be upside down. So she captures Batman, gets ready to put him into the tank, brings the Joker into the room, explains to the Joker what she's done. This is how I fixed your joke, baby. What does she call him, Mr. J or whatever? The dude flips. he says Batman free. I can't remember, but I know he beats the mess out of her. He beats the mess out of Harley. Harley ends up in the hospital because Joker said this, and it stuck with me. If you have to explain a joke, then it's not funny. So if I have to explain to you what makes my joke funny or what makes my song good, then it's not good. It's something that you kind of got to intuitively pick up on the first time or the second time or the third time around, depending on how long you listen to albums or the jokes. But if you don't pick it up on your own, then it's not necessarily, then it's not what it needs to be.
Boring, lame, not funny. Been done. Too Riddler. What? Harley? Oh, where the heck have you been? Hmm? Batman, eh? Well, you don't say. You have who tied up where?
Well, nuts to you, Mr. Smarty Bat. When I told Mr. J what I was doing, he was so thrilled he could hardly speak.
Holly!
Hi, Puddin'. You're just in time to see the...
Excuse me, I'll be just a minute.
But, Puddin', I don't understand. Don't you want to finally get rid of Batman?
Only if I do it, idiot.
But it's still your plan, see? Everything just like you said. Except I hung the guy upside down so he'd see their little frowns as little smiles. Now it all works.
Except you had to explain it to me. If you have to explain a joke, there is no joke.
Now, oh, calm down, Puddin'.
You've forgotten what I told you a long time ago. One of the painful truths of comedy. You always take shots from folks who just don't get the joke. Ah! And don't call me Puddin'.
My fault. I didn't get the joke.
But I do think, like, over the span of an album, you have, like, all the stuff that people should be able to get. But you can also have the deep cuts where you're like, I don't know if you're going to get it or not. This is something I'm still trying to understand.
Right. Right. And so if you look at Eminem, for example, Eminem has, by general, he does dark material. Like, Stan is dark. You know, him killing his girlfriend, Kim, it's dark stuff. So one of the things that even Eminem had to do is he had to make this, what do you call it, this commercially successful song. So if you listen to any of his albums, he's going to give you one of those just so you'll pay attention enough to get the album and find out, oh, I like dark stuff. So he does How My Name Is, The Real Slim Shady, Guess Who's Back, Back Again, and he does a silly song. For the most, at least in his early career, every album, because those songs are a lot better than talking about killing your girlfriend. Like, you know, nobody wants to hear that.
Well, it's like going on a date. You don't lead off with, so I have issues with my mom. How are you?
Right. And so, again, so even Eminem, an established artist, still has to a degree, placate to the mainstream in order to be successful. But again, if your goal is not to be successful, then you don't have to do commercial stuff. That's my point.
So one of the things I wanted to talk about is we have completely different approaches toward putting stuff out. My approach is like a sense of urgency. Like I treat everything like a deadline. Like, oh, Monday's here, gotta have a podcast out. I don't have time to do this material three times. I'm gonna do it once, I hope for the best, and put it out. Whereas you're like, I will workshop it to death. I don't care if it takes years.
Yes, well, there's two things there. One, I am more Dr. Dre than Tupac. So for those who don't know rap, let's have a brief rap history. Tupac created tons of music in a short span of time because Tupac was just like, I'm going to do 100 songs, we'll take the top 20, that'll be my album.
He's very prolific.
Very prolific. While Dr. Dre, is more perfectionistic. So let's do the same song 100 times and work really hard to make that song as good as possible. This is why it takes Dr. Dre such a long time to come out with albums, most notably Detox, which has not still come out yet.
Well, Compton was the Detox album.
Yeah, well, then it was great that he didn't put Detox out. So that's part one. That's one part of a two-part answer. Part two is that, you know, deadlines work a lot better if you're trying to get stuff done. And so I advise that all those who are trying to grow and get content out to make deadlines. I tend to have deadlines, but they're movable. And because I move them a lot, that also delays me in getting stuff out. So that is that's just shame on me.
Well, my thing is like, so I'll do something new every week, putting out like 4 or 5 hours of material a year, and then like Tupac, grab the best 20 bits, or, you know, some of them will eventually like come together and just be one piece instead of two or three pieces, and then I have a dope album at the end. Whereas like, if you keep working with it, isn't there a chance that you get to a point where like you're no longer connected to what you're doing, like you've moved to a new place in your life?
That is true. That is true to a degree. But for the most part, my songs are, you know, they're not really, what do you call it, time piece specific.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, so for example, here's the kind of rapper I am. I'm a fun, energetic, party type of guy. That's what I want to be. Now, maybe I'm not really there in reality, but that's what I kind of want to be. So if you like to dance, you should like to dance in any time period. And then if you want to dance 5 years from now, my song is 5 years old, then that will just be your cut that you still get out and dance for and dance to.
But it's kind of like I love CeeLo Green, and he'll do a lot of like 70s type music.
Yeah.
But I don't rock with it because I think that's his childhood. I'm sure there are grown folks that are like, I love this new CeeLo music, but I'm like, dude, come on, man. Go give me some Gnarls Barkley. Give me some rap.
Right. And so, again, you have to be, what is it? Aware. Like an aware audience. You don't create your artistry in a bubble. You create it in 2016. So again, to Ian's point, the concept of you trying to make something that you want people to connect to and you don't have it in today's vernacular, Or in a way that's going to appeal to people who, you know, in 2016, you're going to be missing out. So even with my stuff, that is why again, these old songs I've been working on for years, they're all getting a facelift so that they can appeal to those who listen to music in today's day and age. It sucks because I really like the way those things are done, but at the same time, my goal is not just to make music for me. I wish it was. I wish it was. I'm trying to make music to connect to you too.
We'll talk a little bit about. I just did a podcast with KB. She co-hosts the Laugh Factor with me, and I was saying, like, I had taken a break from comedy, and I kind of realized, like, well, if I'm not doing comedy, who am I? Like, it becomes such a big part of who I am. And you feel like, you know, your rap is a calling. What does that mean to you in terms of, like, your life or your focus or your drive? Because, you know, now you're married, you got kids, you know, other stuff in life is happening. Where they're like, I don't care what your calling is, you got to do this stuff today.
Yes. And so, you know, I have it in my marriage clause. and I am able to rap as much as I need to, because that is that was who I am, you know, before the ring and the kids. That is still who I am. So it's just like, you know, it's a part of me. And if you, for those of you who've read or saw Inside Out, it is one of my personality traits. There's a rap island.
There's a little rapper in you.
Right. With fun rides and dope beats. And so to take that away from me would be like, that'd be like killing a part of myself. And, you know, if I'm killing a part of myself, then I'm walking around alive with a part of me that's dead. And that is not how you have a productive life, because then you start, and then instead of looking at your wife and the kids as a blessing, you're gonna be like, they're a hindrance to the person that I want to become.
You don't want to resent them for what died in you.
Exactly. So if you're gonna fail, you fail with the wife and kids, or if you're the kind of artist, which we'll jump into this maybe next, who feels like, hey, I ain't got time for that, because listen, I really want to create this art, then you push off that season. But again, man, everything's a sacrifice. So it's just like, okay, so, you know, I did not push off getting married and having kids, so now it's even harder for me to make music. While Ian has, but at the same point in time, he does want a family, but he's probably going to be starting a lot later.
Well, now it's like there's so much that I want to do creatively. Like, I now want to be doing about 3 or 4 different podcasts a week. And that's time, you know, because I have a job. And it's time I'm not spending with my girlfriend or my friends. And for me, that's a great time. I love this shit. But then everybody else is like, come on, man. It's like I'm creating my own island and I'm not sharing my life with anybody. And then I always thought of, like, well, I'll make it and then I can, like, start to enjoy life. But it's like, I might not make it. So am I just going to miss out on life?
Right. And so again, prioritization is key. If you're going to be successful, that means that you schedule. You don't just wake up in the morning and be like, okay, what am I going to do today? Or I know I got to go to work, but after that, you know, I don't really know. You kind of have to schedule your time out. So for me, I used to get up in the morning at like 5 a.m. and go to the studio at my dad's house to work on music and then go to work from there. Because at home, in the evening, I got to be back at home because, you know, my wife has got the kids. She has the kids all day. She needs a break or she needs help. And so I have to schedule my time. That means I have to go to bed at a certain time in order to make that happen. You got to sacrifice, homie. Listen.
Here's the thing is, like, a lot of people are like, if you're not 100% sacrificed, you're not about this life. You know, you got to be like the people that are so miserable that they're that alcoholic over the typewriter or they're shooting up heroin just to survive. That's how you get to the greatest art. But it's like, those people were miserable and I only got the one life. I'm not trying to be miserable for something that who knows or cares if anybody's gonna be into it when I'm dead.
That is very true. But there's more than one road to success. There is the hard work. Everybody's gotta work hard. Let's just put that out there. But to say that you have to spend, you know, 1,000,000 hours at it, I don't necessarily know if that's true, especially if it ain't paying the bills. Because we live, again, in the real world. Now, if I was rich and people was paying my bills for me, or I was okay with being, you know, 36-year-old and still in my parents' house, yeah, we could hustle and flow. But that ain't the way it works. So I kind of have to do this, both of these things. And when the career starts to take off where it's like, okay, now I have to decide between a paid gig or work or going to my 8-hour job. Then we can talk about maybe we should transition to full time.
Well, this was not an argument, but a conversation my girl and I had on the way here. Part of the mixtape is I talk a lot about enlightenment and stuff, and I'm finding that funny is maybe not the way to talk about it, but I want to talk about it. So I'm thinking I want to add a new podcast where once a week, you know, I'm going to call it the Stone Buddha. I'm going to get really high and just start waxing philosophically about this enlightenment stuff. Some people are into it, some people aren't. It's how cults get started. She was like, well, what if, you know, you got to switch your Facebook to private because if people at work see it, I'm like, I have so much stuff out there. If anybody wanted to find a reason to fire me, they could. But it's like, I'm not going to jeopardize my job while I'm at my job, but I'm also not going to jeopardize my art for the sake of a job.
Oh, my goodness. The tension. Do you feel the tension, people, where it exists? I'd say, you know what? Here's what I'll say. I mean, the commitment to do one podcast a week seems like a lot. I mean, to jump into two just seems like, man, you spend...
Well, right now, I'm doing 3 to 4 a week. But this is one I can just do from home, whereas I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to call anyone. And just whenever I have the free time, I can do it.
Yeah, so as long as it's not a weekly thing, because again, you know, you got a job and you got somebody living with you, and they're going to be like, man, he doing the podcast again? And he better come over here and give me a hug.
It's already like that.
So again, and it's like, listen, I mean, I know I've said that, you know, well, I haven't said it to you guys, but I know I've said in the past, you know, about regrets in life. One thing that you're gonna regret is how you treat people. Because people are who you generally are gonna be there for you when you are, you know, passing away, when you got the cancer, when you can't walk and somebody has to give you a sponge bath, you know, like, and so I'm not saying...
He's going to be like, I should have hugged her more or I should have done another podcast.
Right, exactly.
Cause I wish I'd recorded one more word.
So, like, for example, if I'm successful and my kid hates me, did I win? If I get divorced, I lose my family and I'm successful, did I win? And it's like, you got to determine, and I have to determine, too, what's my cutoff line, man? It's like, man, what is it? At what point do I say if I can't make it, it's okay? And you know, for me right now, I'm gonna just put out this album. We'll see how it does. If it's successful, you know, then we'll continue to pursue music because it should be dropping this year. It will drop this year. But if it's not successful, then I'm strictly doing music for me.
What is your idea of success?
You know, I think, well, if my idea for success is twofold. Again. As an artist, I gotta like it. I know I gotta reach the, you know, my demographic. I know I gotta make songs that everybody enjoys, but at the same point in time, I have to like it. So I need to create something that's dope. I've already hit that goal. Like, if nobody like any of my tracks, I'm happy with them. So I'm good. Now the second part is I have to make something that you like. Something that connects to you. And so I am working really hard to make that possible. And if I do that and I get some, hey, so we're gonna put at least one of my tracks up and you like it, I'm good. That's all I need. Because, you know, as a Christian artist, you know, you're making positive music and you're making something that is by default something you shouldn't like. It's like eating broccoli. Man, no, who loves eating broccoli all the time? Who loves hearing, you know, righteous music? And there ain't no cussing and no fussing and nobody getting killed. I ain't telling no girls to get out and touch the flow. And so if you like it, that means I've already done really, really great. Because that means you like
the broccoli. I got you to eat the broccoli.
You got you to eat the broccoli. It's like working with my kid. Though you're not a kid. but that's my goal. So my target audience also is the kids, which is why I'm heavy with the cartoon references.
You're going to start throwing some auto-tune in there. I got a bit I'm working on about, like, you know, Jay-Z talking about Basquiat and Kanye's The Life of Pablo. I was like, is painting what the kids are into? Is that really, is what everybody wants for Christmas? Is that the new painting?
Well, okay, so the difference between Kanye and me, or Jay-Z and me, is that Jay-Z have an established fan base. So there's people who are going to buy Jay-Z and Kanye albums without listening to a single song. because the body of work that they've already produced is amazing to them. I ain't got that. So I kind of got to make some stuff you like first, and then, you know, as I grow up, I can make A Life of Pablo, or I can make a Yeezus, where it's like, clearly that album was just for me.
I wonder if I have that in reverse, where I've already demonstrated so much bad material. Nobody is even going to listen to the good material. 185 episodes, there's no way this one is good. I'm not even going to think about subscribing.
Whatever. Anyway, you have to believe in yourself.
Oh, okay.
All right, it's my wife. But yeah, you got to believe in yourself. And so I believe that I got what it takes, even if you don't know it yet. And just because you ain't listening to the podcast now, don't mean in 5 years from now, you'll be checking this bad boy out.
All right, so I do have more of like a hip-hop spirit toward things than comedy. Like in comedy, it's very like you never really brag about what you're doing. Well, I guess people Facebook post about it, but you're not like... Like, in rap, you want to be the best MC. And you're not scared to say, like, I am the best. If you got a problem, come test me. But in comedy, you would never do that. You would never be like, you know what? I'm way better than you. Your material is a whack. Get out of here. You should quit comedy. But I have that spirit in me because I love hip-hop so much. Do you have that sense of, like, you're the greatest MC?
You know, this is so sad. I'm not supposed to. Because, you know,
that's pride, not humble.
Yeah, that's not humble. Jesus was humble. You know, pride was, you know, the first sin. That's how the devil fell. Or Lucifer fell.
Pride comes before a fall.
But from the fall. But it's like even, but yeah, it's kind of even hard for me to shake as a rapper. It's like, even though I know I'm not the best, when I'm on the mic, I feel like I'm the best. And sometimes when I write, like, I say it. like I got this line. I'm working on this Dragon Ball Z workout training crazy song. And what do I say? I say, okay, let's take it up a notch. This is 1,000-time gravity. I'm coming Kakarot. I've been putting in work, homie, like I'm on the clock. They say, yeah, I'm not the best. Well, I'm coming for the spot. And so, you know, so it's like...
And Kanye's sometimes after he says something dope on the newest one, this voice will just go, perfect. You should find a clip of, like, the meme. It's over 9,000.
Yeah, and so it's just this idea. It's just like, man, you know, you're working, you're grinding. Man, I don't even care. I don't even care if you don't like it right now.
Because to me, there's a lot of humor, too, in, like, being lame confident.
Yeah.
Like, I just said the dopest thing that nobody cares about.
Yes. But again, you got to have that drive in you, or why are you doing it? So it's kind of like, if you don't want to be the best, then why are you doing it? And even though I know I'm not the best, I still have the drive to be the best that I can be. Now, listen, I ain't going to never beat Eminem in a freestyle battle. But that doesn't mean I can't be better tomorrow than I am today. Or, you know, and can continue to grow. Because I don't want to stay at this level I'm at. Like, right now, I'm trying to go Super Saiyan. Okay, I think I've got the Kaioken down. You know, I got a couple jutsus, a couple techniques. But I'm really trying to go up.
But you're not ashamed to say you think you're good and you want to be better.
That's right. So, you know, like
humility and confidence at the same time.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, listen, I want you to... Here's my end goal. If you could listen to Kanye's album, and then you could put on me... and be cool. Like, or you could even be like, you know what? I like this dude better. I have won.
Small victories.
So that is, that's the goal.
Do you want to break... We're going to put the Yoshi song on here. Do you want to sort of break down what went into the writing process on it?
All right. So, Yoshi song. And I know I'm going to get sued from this by Nintendo. But I'm going to tell you guys. So the song started from... I was playing Yoshi's Island on DS. And I was getting ready to fight one of the bosses. And, you know, the music builds as you kind of go to fight the boss. I'm just like, man, that's kind of dope. So then I called somebody, recorded it on my phone. I said, make a beat out of that. They made a beat out of that. And, yeah, it's dope.
I listened to it with JFAT, and he was like, that sounds like a video game beat. And we were wondering if it wasn't just, like, straight you got the music from a video game.
No, so it's just the loop, and it's not the actual, you know, not the actual
Nintendo
song. You know, actually, they re-recorded the sound. keyboards, whatever. But the song is basically about if the flood was to happen today, the flood from Noah's Ark. So for those who do not know the story briefly.
Who doesn't know?
I don't know. People who don't go to church or read the Bible or, you know.
There was a movie. They know about the rock monsters.
Yes, and the rock monsters. But anyway, so God gets tired of mankind because we're evil. At least half the time. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to start over with this guy named Noah. I'm going to flood the earth. And so it starts off with me warning people that there's a flood coming. Then it's raining, but it's not like, you know, flood levels yet. And then at the last, at the end, it's absolutely epic. There are people dying. There are people, there's thunder, there's lightning.
There's sheep's going by in a tornado.
Yes, yes. Penguins.
Monkeys.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And so it's like I wrote everything on purpose. And as the song progresses, the intensity of the music also progresses. And so it's like, so for some dude in New York to be like, I don't really feel that. Like, who is you? that was my approach. And so, again, so if you like it, now you kind of know the history before you hear it. If you like it, great. And I'm not talking about if you like it from a Jesus perspective, because I don't really care about that. I care if you like it from a music perspective. Like, it's a dope song.
I don't know if we talked about it already or not, but, like, what is your cutoff from, like, not listening to people? Where you're like, well, I don't care what you think. I'm just doing this.
Well, again, like, so for Yoshi, here's where I'm at. If you have ideas on making it better, great. I would love to hear those. If you're like, absolutely trash it, then you can say that. I don't know if I would listen, but I would at least respect the opinion.
What's the hardest criticism you've had to take where you're like, they're right? Like your Land Rover's on Mars moment where you're like, I just gotta eat it. They're right and I hate you.
Oh my goodness. I think it was just the reality that it's gonna be a lot harder than I originally thought. And they're just like, yeah, you've got talent. Yeah, you've got a couple songs. But it's still not what it needs to be. And it's not only what it needs to be, but it's going to cost you a lot more money than you thought it was going to cost. It's going to take you a lot more time. It's just like, man, I've been working on this already for like, you know, 10 years. What you mean it's going to take more time? Like, man, I'm not good enough yet. I was like, ah, so be it. So be it. Then obviously it's time to get better.
Any closing thoughts or words of wisdom? Any questions you have?
Not questions I have. I would just say everything's there's a tension, and I think anybody who listens to this podcast will know there's a tension between making dope art, making stuff that you can live with, making stuff that connects to people. At the end of the day, though, you gotta like what you create. You're selling out if you don't. So at the end of the day, even if you make a song that tells girls to get down low and twerk, or you make poop and fart jokes, you better like those poop and fart jokes. Because if you don't, then you're selling out. And you're just doing something to make you some money. And then, you know, if you're just doing that, then I think that you're a waste of space. That's my closing thought. Hopefully you got something out of this.
All right. My name's Zeno. Can they find you anywhere?
Of course not.
what's the album going to be called when it comes out?
The Flood.
And it'll probably be on SoundCloud, maybe iTunes.
Yes, yes, I do have a Twitter, Push the Rapper on Twitter, and I do have a music page, but there's no music up because obviously I'm working on it.
Peace.
Okay, everybody, will you please pay attention? Atheist, Muslim, Hindu, and Christian. I got me some bad news, a terrible prediction. God is gonna flood the earth, it ain't broke for fishing. You sick of all the sinning, no one is repenting. Think on it while you listening, you meeting this description. Think you playing games, this is wrath, you is tempting. Like you're drinking Duff, homeboy, Homer Simpson. The world's going to hell, that's why I am preaching Christ. They say I'm gonna fail, really not without a fight. While some are raising hell like Al-Qaeda on the flight, I'm laying tracks like rail dog to point them to the Christ. And that be the plight, the climax of the movie. When sin's planted firm, God's word will approve thee. I gotta try, some saying suicide. I'm going out with a bang. If you with me, let's ride.
Hit him with be efficient. Got a real mob, you bring in opposition. You know we pack sauce. Singing everything we do it for the Lord. Position to preach Christ's lane on the blocks, on the courts, wherever people hang, saying Jesus is the king. Something like country, evil like a fad. Let it pass on. This ain't a snap song, but I'm about to snap on. Got my raincoat on now, and it snap on. So let me snap on, like a biker's helmet. You will not get on board, you rather Michael Phelps it. You in the dark, you can't see, you in the red. When them floodwaters come, you gon' be in over your head, listener. I'm talking dead, listener, with no eternal life. You gambling your soul, you wanna roll the dice. Searching for the lost sheep, I'm looking for the coin. So you know I hit the bricks like Mario and go boy. From the field to the shot, from the sip to Des Moines. If you want your sins forgiven with Christ, you need to join, player. I'm in attack mode. I hit them with the faith and plant the gospel on them, and then I detonate. So they'll be saved by grace and not be destroyed. Jesus went and paid it all. Cast a check or it's void. Hit them with the great commission. Get them on board. All these souls, we efficient. Got a real mark. We bring in opposition. You know we pack sauce. Singing everything we do it for the Lord. Position to preach Christ's lane. On the blocks, on the courts, wherever people hang. Saying Jesus is the king. Something like country. Evil like a fad. Let it pass on.
Play the Congos, Sonny, play the Congos.
Get on the boat, play the Congos, Sonny, play the Congos.
2x2,
play the Congos, Sonny, play the Congos. Have them file in, 2x2, tell them pronto. Play the Congos, Sonny, play the Congos.
Get on the boat,
play the Congos, Sonny, play the Congos.
Get on the boat,
play the Congos, Sonny, play the Congos. Have them file in, 2x2, tell them pronto.
This boat is really rocking, and yeah, these waves rolling. But like the Great Commission, yeah, boy, I'm still going. Bodies are floating, I'm here. People scream, man, I'm doing all I can just to bring them to the king. I'm a fisherman casting out lifeline. God wants a man to perish so nobody left behind. When I try to share Christ, they act like I've done a crime, like they ain't seeing me. Maybe it's cause they are blind. So it goes, this the gospel I'm promoting. But some would rather be straight up floating in the ocean, sleeping with the fishes, soaking with devotion. It's casting ballot time, homie, how is you voting? Cause when you meet the Lord and he asks you about your life, dude, don't approach your soul, please don't vote Christ. Cause Jesus is the Christ, and this is the end. And like that old movie, boy, I'm going with the wind.
Hit him with the Great Commission. Get him on board. For these souls, we efficient. Got a real mark. If you're bringing opposition, you know we back sauce. Singing everything we do it for the Lord. Position to preach Christ's lane. On the blocks, on the courts, wherever people hang. Saying Jesus is the king. Something like country, evil like a fad. Let it pass. Uh-huh.